Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hi, Mark. Hello. You are sitting on the shores of Lake Michigan. I'm going to talk about something you probably haven't seen since you've been on the shores of Lake Michigan, and that is cigarette smoke.
Not once.
You know,
no, I take that back. My brother-in-law was here this weekend, so I saw a little bit. But, yeah, it's great, and this is kind of fun because I'm actually talking to you on a hard landline with a Princess phone.
Wow.
You know, it's a classic, so
absolutely,
the audio quality is good.
Good. I'm in California as we're talking, and perhaps what's notable about California is our budget crisis. And it is also notable that whenever there's a budget crisis, first thing everybody turns to is taxing cigarettes. And the price of a pack of cigarettes here is about $7.50. And, you know, they're proposing making it between $55 and $60 or something ridiculous like that. And I suspect that that might decrease cigarette smoking a bit. This week, we're going to talk about some medicinal approaches to this. Cigarette smoking, clearly an important cause of death. 5 million deaths worldwide, 400,000 deaths attributed to cigarette smoking in the U.S. Each year. Clearly the most important preventable cause of death that we've got. Three major causes of smoking-related mortality: atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, lung cancer, and COPD. Smokers who stop smoking reduce the risk of dying of these tobacco-related diseases, although there is a period before they get back to a baseline risk. Interestingly, 70% of smokers say in surveys that they want to quit, and the majority of them have tried to quit in the past year. There are some that have not. The success rate for any one unaided attempt is very low. Less than 10% of them will be successful. So the goal is to have multiple attempts to view tobacco as a chronic relapsing disorder and manage it very much like we would, say, diabetes or obesity. The question at hand this week is it possible in smokers who are not interested in quitting to put them on nicotine replacement, and will that help them smoke less? So in many ways, this is a concept that's very similar to a concept that we use in taking care of patients with substance abuse, which is harm reduction. You know, we'd love to have them stop. If they can't stop, can we at least reduce the harm to a lower level by some sort of intervention? This study was published in the British Medical Journal. Mark, what did the authors find?
Yeah, this was a systematic review, and you know, it's sort of if we can't get them to quit, at least let's get them to cut down a little bit. They looked at six different databases, including the Cochrane Controlled Trials Register, and they were able to find seven randomized trials that looked at the value of nicotine replacement in smokers who were unable or unwilling to stop smoking, but who were willing to give it a try to cut down. They recruited patients by advertisement in most of the studies, and they extracted data and then had another researcher double-check the data from the study that they found. The seven studies had a total of 3,100 smokers, and they were all of pretty high quality. The rate of smoking cessation after 6 months was low with the intervention with the nicotine, but significantly higher if they got nicotine replacement, about 6.7% versus 3.3%. So double the cessation rate, although still low. They also looked at sustained reduction, which is people who are still smoking but reduced their consumption by at least 50%, and that occurred in another 6.3% of the treated smokers, but only 1.5% of those receiving placebo. And so the bottom line is that they suggest that we, in addition to our, you know, are you ready to quit smoking? If they say no, they say, well, if you're not ready to quit smoking, would you be willing to try to smoke less? And then recommending nicotine replacement for this group. And it looks like that'll get about 7% to cut their daily use in half and about 6% to quit.
Hmm. So interesting. You know, it is something that you would use in practice?
Yeah, it's kind of a last resort kind of thing, but it'd be relatively easy to change. You know, that's a standard part of many practices now, is to have the nurse ask all smokers at every visit, are you ready to, would you like to talk to the doctor about quitting smoking? And if they say no, then this would add a second question. But, you know, over time, I mean, I think we can wear down a lot of people, and there's, you know, it's that little incremental, you know, if it's 3 or 4% a year, that adds up over time, I think.
A quick political question here.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, it was announced that the FDA is going to begin to regulate nicotine and tobacco and smoking products. What impact do you think that's going to have long term on people smoking?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the bill was apparently co-written by the largest manufacturer of cigarettes, so I have to imagine that they can't think it's going to be too horrible.
Right.
So that has me a little concerned. I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction for the FDA to be able to regulate nicotine. Certainly, it is far and away the most important detriment to health that I can think of. That's a voluntary choice. And you know, there are certainly, it would never be approved were it to come to market today. This is sort of retroactively saying, you know, what can we do? And hopefully it's a sort of the camel's nose under the tent, and that over time we can all strengthen that regulation.
Right. You know, lots of impact that this will have on taxes and mm-hmm. other kinds of care, but interesting, long overdue.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, we're up here in Michigan for part of the summer, and they don't have a statewide smoking ban here, which is very interesting. And Georgia, which, you know, is not always thought of as quite as progressive a state, you know, hand it to Georgia. They've had a statewide smoking ban for several years. Good on them, you know, and it's kind of odd to come up here to a restaurant and think, what are people smoking in the restaurant for? What happened there?
Right.
And you hear the same tired arguments about how it's going to ruin the restaurant business and how the bars will go out of business, and that's all nonsense.
Right. I remember being involved in that discussion, you know, 15 years ago in New York City, and mm-hmm. everybody was going to somehow go to New Jersey and Connecticut and
yeah.
for their meals, and, of course, it never happened. And the same thing was true in England, which now has a very aggressive smoking ban. In California, we can't even say the C word. Forget smoke. The word cigarette can't be said within the state. Anyways, Mark, we'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike. See you.
Okay, talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.